Thank you, Rob Martyr. All right. Coming up this hour, the Democratic National Convention, day three. It's going to be a big night as the President of the United States, Barack Obama, will speak, as well as Vice Presidential nominee Tim Kaine. So he will be on stage. So coming up at 8:30, we will start our coverage tonight. We'll bring you live bring you the live speech, Tim Kaine's speech, and probably dip into the president's speech. But Salim Muakil from In These Times and Ken Davis from Chicago Newsroom will be here to provide analysis both before and after the speech. We'll also hear from some people in Philadelphia, Andrea Darlis, Ro Khan, and some others that are in Dave Lundy, Tracy Seffel. There's a lot of people tonight that we're going to check in with as a big night for the Democrats in Philadelphia. Well, the second annual citywide peace walk will take place this Saturday in Chicago. It starts at the Bronzeville Community Garden, located at 51st and Calumet Avenue on the south side. The march is designed to rally against community violence and police brutality. It's being put on by the Chicago International Youth Peace Movement. One of the organizers behind the march is Jessica Disu. Jessica is also known as the hip-hop artist FM Supreme. She continues to be a leader in Chicago's activism community, as well as a viral star after she appeared in a town forum on Fox News where she suggested that we abolish the police force as we know it. Jessica Disu is a return engagement. Welcome back to The Download. Good to see you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Justin. How's it going?
It's going good. So why don't we start there? Why don't we start with the, we'll get the Fox stuff out of the way. I mean, you did the town forum. It was in New York City. It was a big thing after the shooting of Dallas police officers. Mm-hmm. And you really became the star of this video. They clipped it out that you know, what you said about abolishing the police force. It went viral.
Right. Yeah. I mean, over 31 million people have viewed it thus far. And I think that I know it was a very hostile environment. I want to start off by saying that. And so I didn't have a lot of time to say exactly what I wanted to say clearly. And it was a very frustrating pace that I had to move to actually say what I was saying. And so, I said
you
that
had the weight of all of Black Lives Matters on your shoulders. I think they said on the thing, like, Black Lives Matters. I'm like, sort of.
Yeah, and, you know, and what I mean by abolish the police, abolish this current structure of policing. How do we, you know, we have police officers and we know that there are racial biases with policing in the United States. How can we, is it retraining? How do we shift the structure of it that is sustaining extrajudicial killings? And so it went viral, and the way it was framed up, I really don't like how the agenda that Fox News had with it. And I've received a lot of hate mail since then from a lot of Fox viewers and them really trying to understand, well, how can a sane person really believe that abolishing the police is a potential solution? And I'm saying that abolish the police structure as we know it.
Right.
How do we, this structure is still killing people. Like, people are still dying at the hands of police and no one is being held accountable. And so as a peace activist, because my activism and organizing is rooted in peace and nonviolence, as a peace activist, when I'm watching viral videos of Alton Sterling being shot twice in the chest by the police officer in Baton Rouge, or Philando Castile being shot four times in his arm as in a seatbelt in a car with a four-year-old, and, you know, Eric Garner being choked out, or Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old in Cleveland, Ohio, watching him being shot down for playing with a toy gun in a park in an open to carry state, mm-hmm, and none of these officers are being brought to justice. There's no one being held accountable.
Right.
So how is this police force serving?
But that's the movement, right? That's the movement right now. Black Lives Matters and other activists are involved. The movement is to sort of change the way we, not just the policing, but mm-hmm, also the justice system to make sure that officers or criminals, mm-hmm, anyone are held accountable.
Absolutely.
So let's start. I mean, obviously you had all this sort of hate thrown at you. I mean, it's amazing. Your face just kept popping up in my Facebook feed.
Oh, wow.
It's like, oh, there's Jessica.
Oh,
but
wow.
But talk about that. I mean, what's it feel like to sort of have videos and letters and comments and everything just sort of directed at you with such, I mean, it really is a lot of hostility.
Absolutely. I mean, to be totally honest, I have a great support system. So a lot of my comrades and friends and family have called me from all over the country and the city. But it hurt my feelings because I felt like the clip, the way it was edited down and like the context, it wasn't a clear context of what was said. I didn't like how Fox had a banner as I was speaking, a border that said, you know, Dallas shooter, hero or villain. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that was not even a question. Like, violence against anyone is wrong. I truly believe that. So, of course, like Megyn Kelly asked the question, did Black Lives Matter think that the Dallas shooter was a martyr? I'm like, are you kidding me? Was Dylan Roof a martyr when he walked into the church and shot nine black people last year in Charleston? Of course not. So why would you ask me that? So I think that for Fox to negligently handle the our country's in a very sensitive moment right now.
It's a very complicated issue.
You know, and so we need to not be so divisive and think about ways to unify and come together.
Well, that's part of what you do with the Citywide Peace Walk. And I know you, Jessica, because we've had you on the show last summer. And you know, I felt like it was very soundbitey what they pulled out for you. But I mean, when you came in, you brought some young girls with you to talk about, you know, the idea of peaceful and essentially peaceful activism and shedding a light on what's happening on the south and west side of Chicago, because there's tremendous violence. It continues. I mean, I hate to say it, but we're having the same conversation a year later.
Absolutely.
Not much has changed here.
Not much has changed. So what do we need to do to make things change? You know, I studied abroad after I was on the show last year. I ended up going to Southeast Asia for several months and studied abroad, studied public policy and global affairs in Singapore, and traveled through Southeast Asia just looking at different models of how they build peace in Southeast Asia, and also looking at their policing. And one thing that I noticed was that when I would come across police officers in different countries, there wasn't the same level of fear that I have when I'm walking past an officer here. And I've never been arrested by the grace of God yet. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like I go seeking for trouble. I'm like anti-police, because I've never been anti-police. I'm anti-police brutality. I'm anti-extra judicial killings. And so I'm like, the culture of the policing in our country, it needs a radical shift, a radical transformation. And I do believe that the policing in our society is a symptom of something greater. So it's not like the police is beyond these men and women who go and serve and protect our communities, those who are actually doing, like, you know, they were saying, well, you don't believe that there's good cops. I'm like, to say that there aren't good cops is to like to say that like all black people are smart and all white people are dumb. That's just a broad generalization. You know what I mean? So these are systemic issues. I see the violence in our communities, the intra-community violence, as a direct result of systemic poverty. And this systemic poverty, which creates this systemic violence, as in there are systems and social needs are not being met in these communities, from education to, you know, mental health clinics that were, you know, closed, and schools being closed, and the joblessness, these food deserts. All these things are what contribute to this desperation of our young people. The march that we're having on Saturday, a young man, 23, was shot and killed July 16th, Rachie Williams. And yeah, he was shot and killed, and you know, people are like, well, we don't organize to respond to the violence. We actually, you know, organize and do different things year round.
But this is, I mean, this is almost when you think about it, and you hear the argument, and you'll hear this thrown out all the time about, well, Black Lives Matters or other activists will come out and march on Michigan Avenue for someone who was shot by a police officer, but they won't march and organize when there's the continuing nonstop violence in their communities. But this is a perfect example of that you do. I mean, the Citywide Peace March is about Mr. Williams, who was shot at 23 years old, and all the others that we just see as statistics and numbers. And you have been a part of doing that. Even, I mean, you've been abroad, you know, studying public policy. But before that, we talked about that's something that happens on a regular basis, if not every week.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, like, how do we, like, what is not work, you know? And people are like, well, abolish the police. Well, then none of us will be safe. Well, In these vulnerable communities, the people are not safe. The police are coming after the fact, after the shooting, after the robbery, after the rape. How can we have mediators or peace officers or actual force that's actually preventing these things from happening? You know, it was, you know, I was in that neighborhood the night of the shooting. And so that was my first time seeing a dead body so close. And to see and to watch, you know, so many officers, you know, doing their jobs, you know, investigating, writing notes, etc., and like some guys that came down the block, and they're like, they've realized that their friend is shot and dead, so they're yelling and, you know, like, what's going on? They're getting dramatic, and an officer literally takes out a gun that looks like an AK-47's like, you know, get the F back, get the F back. And I'm watching, it's like, this is so scary to me because it's like, I can understand why the officer is like afraid. He's kind of overreacting.
It's just a heightened tense.
Yes.
And that would,
but bringing out a gun does not de-escalate. Right. That in fact escalate the situation. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? We need to demilitarize the police, disarm the police. I'm saying we need to de-escalate some of these these subtle acts that can easily turn into executions. I don't believe that every officer that kills a black person wants to went on a mission that day to kill a black person.
Nor are they, not every time they're in the wrong. There may be some situation that happened or someone pulls out a gun. Jessica Disu is a community activist. The citywide peace march is this Saturday.
Yep.
It starts at 51st at Bronzeville Gardens. Mm-hmm. 51st and what was it?
Calumet. At 11 a.m.
At 11 a.m. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with Jessica. Stay with us. Screen. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up after the 8:30 news, we will start our coverage of the Democratic National Convention tonight. As you know, the vice presidential nominee, Tim Kaine, will be speaking. So we'll bring you that speech live. We'll also have sort of preview and reaction to the speech, and we'll get some voices in from Philadelphia as well. That's coming up after the 8:30 news. In studio with me right now, Jessica Disu. She's a community activist. She's also known as FM Supreme, hip-hop artist. She is part of the group that is putting on Citywide Peace Walk, the second annual Citywide Peace Walk, which will take place this Saturday on the south side of Chicago at 51st Street and Calumet. It starts at 11 o'clock, and it's put on by the Chicago International Youth Peace Movement. Jessica, you've been a big part of youth. You know, I find that the last time we talked, you brought in, I think it was three girls who were, 16, 17 years old to tell their story here mm-hmm. to WGN Radio, which I thought was great because they don't get the chance to talk to the audience here, and the audience doesn't get the chance to hear from them. That seemed to be a lot about what you do when it comes to being, when you talk about peaceful activism, is really about communicating.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, in our communities, it takes a village. It truly does. And so imagining a world without police, like, what does that look like? Let's pretend like police never existed.
Let's take the police. I mean, your idea that you said on Fox News was to abolish the news mm-hmm. or abolish the police. Sorry. You can abolish the news, too.
Fox News.
But let's take that to the side. What does a community have to do? Let's say that the police don't exist. There is no police when it comes to communities that are plagued by violence. How does the community come up with a solution?
Well, the community comes up with a solution by really identifying key stakeholders in the community. It could be the grandmother. It could be the old guy on the corner. What we need is village keepers. I was born in the late 80s, so I didn't witness this, but I know some of my grandparents said there was a time growing up where people looked out for the other person's children. Like if you saw someone on the block who was not doing what they're supposed to do, you reprimanded that child, spoke to him. Right. Whereas now it's actually very different. It's like, oh, if you say something to my child, could start conflict with the adults.
So at the parental level, right? Mm-hmm,
how do we get back to, because what's the violence in Chicago, the intercommunity piece, it's what's spilling out on the streets is a direct reflection of what's happening in the home. And so what you're seeing is, so it's like, yeah, we can, you know, put the guns down. Yeah, we can go after the bad guys. But what happens is when they're getting arrested, the recidivism rate is high, which means that the young people who are young men and women who are perpetuating crimes, once they go to jail, they're coming back out and they're repeating, how do we heal?
Right.
We're not healing it. There's no reform. It's we need something new. We need to restructure.
Okay. So let's start right there. So we put that to that parental involvement in the home. The idea of looking out for other people's children is something that you say is important for.
Well, yeah, but I know people are like,
transformative.
But I know some people are like, well, I'm too busy, you know, trying to work and pay my bills. I barely have time
pay attention to my own kid, right?
I get that. But I just think that it really is going to take a village. We need village keepers. You know, what does that look like? You know, organize, you know, neighborhood watch clubs. Like, how do we really, you know, own that this is our community and love our community, beautify our community with murals? What does it look like to, of course, when I say abolish the police, like, again, I meant abolish the police structure. We're going to need the help of the government to facilitate, you know, making sure that, you know, people aren't, you know, just running off on the deep end. We don't want to purge, right? We do want people to be safe. But we also want people to live. I desire for people to live. Like, you know, I think that, you know, a loss of life is tragic. And so how can we preserve life?
Well, the reason we bring it up, and I think it's a valid point. I'll have police officers who will text in, who will talk to us just about, you know, it's hard to do the job when there isn't the things we're talking about, when there isn't sort of community involvement, when all you have to do is come in and you react to a crime. Mm-hmm. There's no, and this is on both sides. I mean, the community and police will say the same thing, that there really isn't communication and there really isn't a relationship.
Right.
So let's say that that's the second thing. So we got parental stuff, and people will argue that back and forth because they're busy and they
right, absolutely.
And take care of. But let's talk about, I mean, one thing you mentioned in there was about beautification. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've heard talked about, mm-hmm. the idea of murals or keeping the block sort of up, mm-hmm. And showing respect in the neighborhood that you live.
Absolutely. I think that it's important. You know, the Bible says without a vision the people perish, and so if all you're seeing is death and destruction and seeing things that grass that doesn't grow, and if you are not leaving out of that community, it limits your view of reality and it limits of what possibilities could be. So it's important to nurture your imagination. Einstein said that imagination is greater than knowledge. And so it may not be a lot of great schools in these communities, but if there was more imagination and creativity, what we could see an artistic explosion. I believe Chicago right now is in the midst of a quietest kept Chicago artist renaissance. We have artists like, you know, Chance the Rapper, and just different artists from that, you know, young Chicago authors who are making waves, not only locally, but nationally and globally, right?
Yeah, right.
And so like Saba Pivot and, you know, Malcolm London, just different artists are doing different things in the city. And so I think that there are more of those in these same communities where our young people are being killed. How can we help cultivate their artistry, their talents, and give them some hope and you know, help them get on? I don't know. It's like, you know, we need a Marshall Plan, whatever that means, right?
Right, so, right. I don't know. Well, let me ask you, because last night at the Democratic National Convention, mm-hmm. the Mothers Group got up on stage, mm-hmm. and a lot of the early part of the night was really being able to tell the story of violence, a lot of it here in Chicago, mm-hmm. but the violence effect on families. And that was a big, Dave Lundy talked about it. Others who were on the show last night talked about it. It was a very powerful moment. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, I think about the category of communication, communicating the way that violence rips apart lives and hurts people in the way that sometimes we just think of it as statistics and numbers and people who aren't necessarily living in it really kind of let it gloss by. But that's what this was for. What did you think of the idea of the mothers coming together and telling their stories?
Yeah, I thought it was very powerful for the mothers to come together. I thought it was brilliant on Hillary's team to help facilitate that. What happened with, you know, the tragedies of their daughters and sons is that these are not isolated incidents. And so to have them coming together to show, like, this is a movement against gun violence, a movement against violence of any kind, even, you know, police violence. And so to have, you know, Sandra Bland's mother there, as well as Hadia Pendleton's mother there, and, you know, Hadia Pendleton was killed in street violence, you know, some gang mm-hmm. stuff. And then, you know, Sandra Bland was found dead 3 days later in Wilder
cell,
County,
yeah.
You know. So I think it was powerful that they, you know, they're coming together and that they're going to hold, you know, our justice system accountable and hopefully so that these type of deaths and tragedies won't happen again.
Do you feel at all, I mean, in your work as an activist, do you feel at all that these problems that we talk about can be solved at the political level? I mean, Hillary Clinton, and they talked about that Hillary Clinton is the right choice to try and end gun violence. But Barack Obama said the same thing. Do you feel that politics can be a driving force in getting rid of something like gun violence?
I think politics can help because, you know, we do need to change legislation. We do need, you know, gun safety, gun sense. We need better laws. But I do think that it will be bottom up, ground up. It will be in the grassroots organizing. And we do need a cultural shift. And so, like, even like with the Black Lives Matter movement, to see, like, you know, Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar, they're at the top, but they're just kind of adding a little promotion that's from, you know, that's from the top, but the bottom is doing the work. Like, these organizers who are shutting down streets, who are actually, you know, doing the organizing, some organizers actually mm-hmm. creating legislation that they're trying to submit and push, you know, at their state capital. So I think that it takes a village, and it's going to, you know, bottom up. bottom up.
Jessica Disu, the citywide peace walk is this Saturday. It starts this Saturday in Chicago.
Please come and support us.
Bronzeville Community Garden, located at 51st and Calumet on the south side. It'll start there, and it's going to go to where?
It's going to go to actually 52nd and Calumet. So we're going to
go around.
We're going to walk around.
Or is it just a one block?
No. We're going to walk around and actually, you know, we're going to do like a pray-in. We're going to, you know, sing some freedom songs. And then we're actually going to clean up the neighborhood. There's two vacant lots. The young man, Rachie Williams, was shot and killed in a basically a grassy vacant lot that's really dirty. You know, it's like literally like a lot of litter everywhere. So it's like we want to help beautify the block, you know, show that actually people care. Like, and you don't have to know a person to care that the person has died.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming back
Thank
on.
You so
Jessica
much.
Disu, who's also known as FM Supreme, is going to be at Citywide Peace Walk on Saturday, 11 o'clock, 51st and Calumet. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you so much.